In the 1980s, Steve Guttenberg was one of the reigning box office stars with hits like Cocoon, Three Men and a Baby, the Police Academy series, and Diner. The Guttenberg Bible is his account of the highs and lows of Hollywood. In the book, he describes what it's like to hustle for roles, how the industry treats you when you're hot and when you're not. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Steve Guttenberg to the roundtable. Steve, thank you very much for being back on the show. It's very nice to have you here.
Thanks. Nice to be back here. Thank you.
Give us a sense of when you knew you wanted to tell this story.
Oh, you know, I've been always telling these funny stories about how I started out in business. And friends of mine always recommended, you know, you should write this into something. I never took them up on it until I was talking to an agent friend of mine, my agent, actually. And he said, you know what? I think you got a great idea for a book. Let's go talk to the head book agent here at the agency. Talked to him, and he sort of, and his name is Mel Berger, a really smart guy. He said, you know, it's going to be a great idea. Why don't you write 40 pages? Let me see if I could sell it. And we went from there, and it went great.
You grew up in Long Island, but you knew at a fairly early age that you wanted to head west to Hollywood.
I did, yeah. I grew up in Long Island, so I took a shot, and boom, there I was.
Taking the shot, you write about this in the book, is that you would sneak onto the Paramount lot.
Yeah, what I would do is I would sneak on the lot and found myself in my own office, put in my own furniture and a telephone, and became my own agency.
Ultimately pretending to be Michael Eisner's son, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah.
So once you have this office, then how do you parlay that into actual work?
Oh, well, then, you know, I just started making phone calls and calling people and calling agents and casting directors and finding out where the jobs were. And it was fun. It was just fun. And I think that when your career is fun, you are more inclined to wake up in the morning, can't wait to go to work and can't wait to get something done. And that was my luck with my career, that I've always enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed getting on the phone and hustling and looking for opportunities. There's just a great joy in that. You know, you have to, you know, especially in a business like I'm in, which is a freelance business, you have to, you know, have a great attitude about it.
Police Academy was your first starring role, correct?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Which I assume everyone thought was going to be a bit of a flop.
My agent actually thought it was going to be a bit of a flop, and, well, you know, nobody really thought it was going to be that funny, and boy, it hit the funny bone of the country, and we were off to the races, you know, and we had the equivalent of what The Hangover is, so it was a lot of fun.
Do you have a sense of what it was that struck a chord with the audience?
Funny, you know, funny is funny. Just, you know, everybody, you don't have to have an education or a pedigree or a drama degree to know what's funny, and, you know, audiences catch on, and they tell each other, and you know, that's what happened to us, luckily.
When you first read Going Back, when you first read for Diner, what was that experience like?
Well, it was just like any other audition, you know. You walk in, you really want the job. You know, basically in that part of your career, you want any job. And you jump at it, you know, and you grab it with both fists. And before you know it, the director is, you know, asking you to do it again. And, you know, a lot of acting, film acting, is being perfect for the role. That's what it comes down to. You know, do you look like the guy? Is it most of great acting and most great filmmaking is casting the right people. As Woody Allen, who I just worked with, that's his really his mantra. You know,
and the experience of working with somebody like Barry Levinson, who is so meticulous. You're in Baltimore. You're in his hometown. You're playing someone that's personal to him. It must be quite an experience.
He was very, very well-versed in this subject matter, and he was perfect, but he wasn't as demanding as he was fun to work with, you know? You know, it was not without its tougher moments, but it was really an enjoyable experience. And, you know, we were young and hungry, and that has a lot to do with it, too.
When you have the films coming at you, whether it's Cocoon and Three Men and a Baby and Police Academy and Short Circuit, and things are going well, then you basically get to choose, right? It's less hustle at that point, I would assume?
Yeah, sure. You know, sometimes you're a buyer and sometimes you're a seller. And when you have hit movies, then you become the buyer. And people are coming to you and trying to sell you their movies that they want you to be in. And it's quite exciting. You know, it's sort of like, you know, you win the Kentucky Derby, you get invited to go to all the races. And then when you don't win anymore, then you don't get invited as often.
When did you start not winning?
It never happened to me. I've always won. I've been very, very lucky. My bar is very low. My parents gave me a great education in integrity. So, you know, the man who knows when enough is enough has enough. I've always known when enough was enough. I win every day. Wonderful family, wonderful friends. I'm healthy. You know, I know how to cook. I know how to clean my apartment. I can keep myself very, very occupied. I love to read and draw and paint and travel. So I've always won. I thought I was rich when I was, you know, living in a studio apartment in near UCLA, paying $300 a month for rent. I thought I was rich. I've always felt that I was winning. I felt I won when I every time I would see my mom and dad. You know, I just thought they were the greatest people in the world, and how lucky I was to have them choose me as their son. I've never lost. You know, you could professionally look at one movie that made a lot of money and another movie that didn't make a lot of money. But, you know, I don't measure success by what other people think. I don't care what other people think. I care what I think.
Do you go in with an attitude of wanting longevity, though? Of when you have the hits and your name is above the title and everything's going great, do you want to keep that?
Longevity, I want longevity in my life. And show business is a very small part of my life. I have a full, wonderful, loving life that I expect to have longevity. I expect my relationship with my sisters and my parents and my friends and family, that to be long. That's where I want my longevity. Whether, you know, an audience likes me or not, hey, it would be nice to keep going as long as Clint Eastwood goes, but you know, that's unrealistic.
Well, the name of the book is the Gutenberg Bible. It is put out by Thomas Dunn Books, St. Martin's Press. Steve Gutenberg, it's great to talk to you. Great to read the stories in the book, and I wish you all the luck in the world with it.
Hey, thanks for having me on your show and being here again. You have a great show.
Great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us. Again, it's the Gutenberg Bible. It is published by St. Martin's Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.